Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning for this Wednesday, the 27th of January. Very nice to have you aboard. Let me introduce our panel to you. Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Big Joe.
What are all here.
Yeah, the microphone.
Good morning, Big Joe. I'll repeat it. And it's so exciting around here, you know, that Pete Berrar has decided to come and give a speech at the Linda, and it's almost all sold out. But you'll tell everybody about that, right?
I will.
Yeah.
Hi.
Who? Me? Hi.
Yeah,
hi, Joe.
Alan, Ray Graff is here too. Hi, Ray. Uh oh.
Good morning, Joe. How you doing? Good to see you.
In case you don't know what's going on, he's mimicking me, which he does from time to time by looking the other way and not speaking into the microphone.
Mimicking or ridiculing?
No, you're quite right.
That's ridiculous.
I will accept the ridicule. Yes.
Rosemary Arbeo is here right in front of the microphone.
I know how to speak into the microphone, and I want to be more like Ray, though.
I know. I've read that.
You mean give me a hard time?
Yeah.
Let me show you to the ho-ho section of the grocery store. You'll be fine. Get you some devil dogs. You'll be good. You're off to a good start.
That could be fun.
My goodness, we have a million things to talk about. So let's keep the announcement short here, and we'll get right into the news of the day. First and foremost, the lockbox, we're at $464,165. We need to get to $500,000.
$36,000, and I am scared. Okay, folks, I'm telling you now, I'm scared. That's all. That's all I'm going to say.
You're taking some heat for taking too much time with these. I know some
people
are writing in.
Yeah, so I'm scared to death.
But, I mean, the lockbox is going well?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday morning.
And what happens if we hit the $500,000?
Well, as you know, I'm so glad you asked, we get $25,000 from the Spitzer Foundation.
So we have, a few days left to do this?
Yes, but think of all those elections where a guy loses by one vote or five votes.
Right.
Or a woman loses by one vote or five votes. Tried to be correct there.
Good for you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, don't you see?
Impressed, Rosemary?
I'm stunned.
So, we don't want to take too much time up, but the fund drive, it's a $1 million fund drive, and it starts on Monday, right?
It starts on Monday morning.
Okay, with you in the chair at 6 a.m.
And you in the other chair.
Right. And so, what we're trying to do is shorten the fund drive.
Right.
But now, we don't want to talk too much about this morning.
No.
But we have how much to go in the lockbox?
$36,000.
Okay, and then we get $25,000 more if we make that.
That would be $525,000, which would mean we would have a $475,000 fund drive.
Okay, I don't want to belabor the point, but do you think we can do this?
I don't know. I don't.
What are you doing?
The fund drive.
I'm just tweaking the people who write in with their nasty remarks. Okay.
I don't know.
All right. By the way, and as Alan mentioned, Preet Bharara is coming. The U.S. attorney, Preet Bharara, will be speaking at the Linda at 4 o'clock on February 8th. Now, here's the deal. Tickets are going very quickly. They're almost gone. The U.S. attorney will make a short presentation, and then Alan will interview Preet Bharara. It'll be broadcast live here on WAMC. The event is
live,
free.
In other words, real time. So you
yes,
can listen
broadcast
in your car.
Live.
Yeah.
Right.
You said that. I know you did.
I know. But that's okay.
I know you know.
I know that you know that I know.
It's open to the public, but reservations are required. And you just go to WAMC.org. The ticketing system is up and running, and get your tickets.
Or you could call, can't you?
1-800-32. Yeah, I think we're trying to do it online.
We will be video streaming this live, so you can also watch.
But if you have trouble,
don't make it to the event.
Yes, but if you do have trouble online, there is a number there. It's 800-323-9262, and they'll help you as well.
But put it mildly, this is the single highest ticket in town. Yesterday, we made this announcement. We put the press release out at 4:30 in the afternoon. Yeah. This morning, a single announcement, a press release, and I think over half of
whoosh.
Numbers. It was a whoosh. It was a whoosh.
A whoosh.
People
okay.
know.
Is the governor coming?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. He certainly is welcome to sit up there.
You know. He'll watch the video stream.
We'll give him a chance.
Oh, I'm going, and I have tickets and got tickets for some students. Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's start the show. Are we ready?
Hey.
Okay. Let's go.
But what about the lockbox?
That's funny.
Okay. Well, my goodness, we have so much to talk about. There's the story out of Oregon, of course.
Wow.
There is the there is still the manhunt underway in California. But let's talk about. Let's talk about Donald Trump. So Donald Trump has announced that he is ducking the debate, skipping the debate Fox News and the debate they're doing on Thursday night, one of the moderators will be Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly, who has sparred with the billionaire.
She has not sparred with him. She has asked questions.
Good questions, like, why do you attack women the way that you do?
Do not accept the Trump version that she has somehow gotten some vendetta and has fought against him or been unfair to him. That is not true.
Although she may have jumped to the most famous journalist in America as a result of what Trump has done.
Cover of Vanity Fair this month.
Wow.
My
I hope it wasn't sexist, because she happens to be, it's not important, good looking.
She's glamorously good looking. Yeah. I would love to hate her. She is, in fact, a lawyer. She's from Bethlehem High School.
That's right. Del Mar girl makes good.
She has a local connection, and she is an excellent journalist.
Yeah.
I use the term spar because she has been very true in her, the sparring comes from Trump making up and then making up with her, making up with Fox News, and then continuing to bash her. She has said that they're not going to kowtow to him or to the demands that they change moderators. So the question is, does this hurt him? Does this hurt Ted Cruz? Does this hurt the voters of Iowa who perhaps need another debate? I don't know. What do you think?
Does not hurt him. He is now living what he has promised, that he'll stand up to anybody, and that includes Rupert Murdoch, who owns the Fox News channel. He is standing up to a station that no Republican has really challenged before. He is standing up to the media. He is looking good to his followers. It does not hurt Megyn.
Megyn Kelly.
Yes, I keep wanting to make her the actress. It does not hurt the moderator. She is on the cover of major magazines and is being seen even among mainstream media who don't usually like Fox News as doing a good job. The people of Iowa, I doubt they need another debate. And anyway, he's promised that he'll give them a show anyway. I think Ted Cruz has got some problems. He's in a big fight to win Iowa, and he's been shut out. He's, in fact, acknowledges by offering to go mano a mano in a debate with Trump.
You know, we already have a couple of letters from people who are mad that we're talking about Trump. And I can understand that being an argument maybe a couple of months ago, but we are now looking at a man who very well may be the Republican nominee for the president of the United States.
Well, I would go a little bit further, Joseph. I would say there's a good chance he may be the president of the United States.
Okay. Ooh. So this is to me, this is not something that you can just dismiss and put your head in the sand and say we're not going to talk about it anymore.
No,
this is real stuff, right?
We're not going to do that. And Mike, who wrote, said he'll see us again tomorrow. That's your privilege, Mike, but we don't kowtow to that.
Well, I bring it up not to go after Mike, but simply to
we must be listening still.
Bring up the point that you hear this of Trump again. Well, I mean, that's sort of the point, right? I mean, that
he's
has been able to
the political campaign system. He is doing things no one has ever done and has been rewarded by a lot of voters for that. He's worth the coverage. This is like people complained about O.J. Simpson. That upended the way we looked at how police did their jobs and how justice did their jobs. Mm. It's exactly the sort of case we should be
looking
at.
Interesting point.
Yes.
So, do you believe that tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, I believe, I could be wrong on that, maybe 9, but do you believe that when the debate begins on Fox News that Donald Trump will not be on that?
Good question. I would have said I don't think he's going to be there, but he's now asked for a meeting with Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah.
So this is like the clash of the titan egos, you know? Will they
get
together and
come
up with...
No, this is like World Wrestling Federation.
Oh, it's a lot like it, I think.
I mean, you have the little fake before it where I'm not going to show up, and then you show up in the third round. And...
Maybe, but he's pretty shrewd. So. He doesn't need this debate.
Right.
He could actually lose... If somebody landed some telling blows, he loses points.
Right.
He's so far ahead, he doesn't need this. I mean, what's the classic example of an incumbent who just doesn't want to do the debates?
Right.
And so he's almost in that position.
But not only that, he says he's going to have his own thing, which is brilliant. I'm going to be on appearing for the veterans. Now, who could be against that? And everybody.
But who puts it on?
Okay,
I guess anybody, right?
I don't know. Maybe the Weather Channel. But but I do know that if he does it, and somebody has a choice but saying, let's see what the Donald has to say, or let's see what Cruz has to say with the four guys or the four people, then you know where they'll go. They'll go to Trump.
Do you think the ego will allow him to not be in the room where everyone's talking about him?
Well, like I say, I think that he's up against now Rupert Murdoch, who also has a lot at stake here, and also has a chance to deliver a blow against Roger Ailes, his employee who runs Fox News.
Who does? Who has a chance?
Murdoch.
Murdoch wants
I can see Murdoch and Trump making a deal where they both look good, where Trump comes out and says, see, I'm a master at the deal maker. And Murdoch goes, I'm in favor of the Democratic system. You have to hear from everybody. I think they could come to something. I think that's possible.
Well, from your lips to the Almighty's ear, as far as I'm concerned, that Murdoch has the potential for turning on Ailes. I don't see it.
The other thing too is that we have a situation where Donald Trump made up and there have been other debates on Fox, the most recent being on Fox Business. So this comes, I guess, directly toward Megyn Kelly. We knew that Megyn Kelly was going to be the head of this debate or a moderator of this debate for a very long time. So at what point do we say to ourselves, that he's doing this for attention?
That Trump is doing it for attention? He does everything for attention.
Well, I understand that.
I'm not.
But I'm saying he knew this was coming. This was on the calendar for a long time, I guess is what I'm getting at. And he knew that Megyn Kelly was going to be the moderator. And she hasn't done anything recently that she hadn't done prior.
This is his chance, again, to further solidify power. If he does it, he further solidifies his power. If he doesn't do it and he still wins Iowa, which he probably will, he further solidifies his power. It is a win-win-win. He has a Trump card.
And do you say to yourself, do we want a guy who is going to have a hissy fit because he doesn't like somebody and not show up to a negotiation? Does that in some way politically hurt him?
With anybody else, the answer you're looking for is, people don't like hissy fits. But in the case of this guy, he has painted himself into a situation where he, as Ray says, can't lose number one, but also is every man. He's every man. Every man is saying, I don't know what I think. One day I think one thing, one day I think another thing, and therefore I don't want anybody telling me I have to be consistent all the time.
You get the feeling we're now in one of his reality shows and that the politics and real
Cindy
life.
Cindy Lauper on next week.
Politics and real life for years, decades now, is sort of mixing with showbiz, and it's just getting worse.
I think you're right, Ray. There's drama in this. This isn't just like, it's not Dan Rather he's not talking to. It's a beautiful young woman. That's like a subtext in Donald Trump's life. That's part of it. This woman is not going to talk back to me. It's just
I don't think she really plays any true part in this.
Oh, I know, I do. I think he's picked his target in this one, and I'm going to stand up to anyone. Her powerful boss, Putin, and so all of his little opponents who are saying, oh, how can he stand up to the real bad guys in the world if he's afraid of Megan? He's not afraid of Megan. He's just playing a drama. I think it's the reality show.
And remember the woman thing. I mean,
yeah,
we have so
that was
soon,
the question.
We have so soon forgotten the blood coming out of her.
Whatever.
That was
the objectionable question that he went after her
right,
for.
Right, of course.
Yeah. There's definitely a sexist subtext, and I think that plays to the same angry group that likes him.
Yeah, and I got a nasty, no, not nasty, but I got a letter from our regular contributor, Bob, who says, Alan, you're way too hasty to say that there's a good chance Trump will become president. I'll prove it to you right now, by the way. I am so looking forward to his debating Hillary in the current vernacular. She'll beep him. Okay, so now, and beeps, by the way, are always, worse than the actual word.
Just insert your own Yiddish word there, and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, he's using that word because that's the word that Trump has used.
Yeah. So think about this for a minute. All right, Bloomberg gets into the race.
Won't.
Yeah.
Okay, you say won't. I'm telling you possibilities.
Okay.
Bloomberg gets into the race. The Republican is going to be the president of the United States.
Well, I think if Bloomberg got into the race, that is a possibility. But,
you have
posited it that this will happen, or
no,
is
not.
Likely to happen,
no,
and
not.
It's not.
And we also have the Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton factor here.
I'm saying, look, Joe and
Rosemary.
Yeah, Rosemary. here's the thing. You know, you can't put words in my mouth. I'm just saying it's possible. I can show you various scenarios in which and national polls.
Right, but we know this. We know, right? Do we not know that Michael Bloomberg has said that he would probably not get in unless Bernie Sanders was the nominee?
Correct.
Okay. So that has to happen first. And I guess we have to say, what is the likelihood of that?
Not good, I don't think.
Well,
where does he stand in Iowa now in the polling?
He could win
He's still winning.
New Hampshire.
So he'll win New Hampshire, right?
Possibly, yeah.
Probably.
So if he wins Iowa and New Hampshire, it doesn't matter until what, North Carolina?
South Carolina.
The third race. The third caucus primary contest.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right, but here's my point. My point is, he's on television. People know him. There's a huge swath of America, enough so that the polls are relatively close, the national polls, with him and Hillary. And I'm telling you now that there is a possibility this guy could win. And if you don't like it, then you could be part of the lumpen proletariat.
Well, anything is possible, so it's impossible to argue that. But I think it's highly unlikely.
I do think that it's getting now to a point where some on this panel who will say he only appeals to an angry segment of white men have to reassess that.
I don't think there's anybody on the panel who says that.
I never said it.
Okay.
I think angry people,
not.
I wouldn't say projecting. Men, I would say
no,
white.
I listen.
No. He has no minority support. He has a high disability rate among women. I mean, that's part of the polling results that we don't drill down into, but perhaps we ought to. He has huge unlikable rates in areas of the country and in groups
of
people.
So is Hillary, though, too.
Hillary has higher, but not as high as him. He is analysis called him one of the most despised men in America. Could we really elect him president?
Well, Grain says, greetings from San Antonio, Texas.
Howdy. Boy, howdy.
Mr. Trump frightens me. History repeats itself. I agree with Alan. Trump is another Hitler. Bullies follow bullies, and he has many followers.
We're going to take a break and go to our BBC news coverage. We'll be back and continue our conversation. We have many other stories to discuss. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, and Rosemary Armeo make up the panel this morning. We welcome your comments again. It is roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll continue our conversation after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable.
Oh,
I'm Joe Donahue. Very nice to have you with us.
Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened in California to those four guys who escaped?
We'll talk about that. We have it on the docket here.
I hear they did horrible things.
Terrible.
They were man haters.
Oh boy.
Check, please.
Call the NPR ombudsman. We got a problem.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. Alan is here. Ray is here. Rosemary is here. And we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let us go to, a big news story that broke last night, even after I sent topics out. One killed in Oregon as protest leaders are arrested. We had a letter yesterday on the show saying, what is the latest in the situation? And we said, mm-hmm. Well, it seems to be quiet, which maybe that's a good thing, right? Well, that ended. So Eamon Bundy, the leader of an arms seizing of a federal wildlife refuge in rural eastern Oregon, was arrested, and one person was killed Tuesday afternoon in a traffic stop in rural Oregon, the FBI and the Oregon State Police say. Seven other people, including Mr. Bundy's brother, Ryan Bundy, were arrested. Another person was hospitalized with injuries that were not life-threatening. The authorities did not identify the man who was killed, but a member of the Nevada State Assembly, who has been a supporter of the Bundy family, said on Twitter that it was Lavoy Finicum who had become a de facto spokesman for the occupiers. The confrontation came after more than 3 weeks of growing tension and anxiety that put this community of Burns on the map, about 5 hours away from Portland.
Yeah, apparently the police law enforcement have been following the the protocol, which was going to be to contain it, just kind of ignore it, contain the situation. But if they came off of the reservation, they would move. And they did in the form of a traffic stop that went very badly. We don't exactly know yet who fired first or how that came to be. But one man ends up dead. That's the siege continues, actually.
Yes.
They're still embedded in the ranch.
Right. So the situation goes on, the arrests were made, and now where does
Correct.
It go from here?
And there's a horrible lack of information about it, as Rosemary just alluded to, as to exactly what happened.
Well, there'll be a press conference today, I guess early this afternoon, and we'll find out more from state police there and local police.
Maybe.
We need to find out more. I mean, did LaVoy fire
side.
A shot?
Yeah, we'll find out the police side of it. We certainly have gotten the...
Already.
What do we call them? The renegades?
I keep hearing the idea of a well-regulated militia.
Militia.
In the back of my head. Is this what we think a well-regulated militia is?
Jeez.
These crazies?
Well, let's wait and see what actually happened.
Let's not.
All right. That would be sort of true to our course here on the roundtable.
All right. Anything else to be said on that panel? All right. Hearing none, we move on. Am I right? Nothing more to be said on that? Does anybody?
Well, there's always something else to be said, but moving on, it sounds like
interesting to hear what our listeners have to say.
Okay,
they've been following this.
We'll get to that in a moment. The other story that I wanted to get to prior to a break and getting some other mail is. Not coming up on my screen at the moment, but I'm sure it will. One moment. Hey, Alan, let's get some letters.
Okay, anything you say. Clay says, one can almost see where Ted Cruz has had the horns removed from his forehead. One can hear Don Trump's flailing in the deep end of life. Maybe Ted will save Don from drowning in his own rhetoric. If Don grabs for Ted's horns, he is in for a rude awakening.
This is a very artistic.
Wow.
Somebody's been up thinking about that. Good morning, panel.
Good
Do you
morning.
Think those who are upset by a police officer killing an armed white anti-government protester will have the same iron call for retribution the next time a police officer kills an unarmed young black male that isn't trying to illegally occupy government land? My guess? No, says Cody. Sandy says, media loves Trump and controversy. Please stop contributing to it. Okay, we heard that one already.
Thank Agreed.
You for moving on.
Do you think...
Yeah.
Do you think that if we have President Trump, then the liberals in this country will then say, "What? Why did the press let this happen? Why did the press let us down and not tell us what happened?"
Yes. Yes, I think that's a very good thing, and I think they'll still blame us. Find a way to blame not just the press, but the roundtable.
Especially Alan.
Go on with letters, sir.
Okay, I will. Okay, I got to, you got to cut some of these out as you go. You see what I mean?
Yes.
Ray's comment is valid. Good morning. Two exclamation points. Ray's comment is valid, Alan. I'm sure you're aware that your poor impression of Labor's firemen is not endearing and not helpful in bringing in the center left. Did anybody hear me say
No, I think you've been pretty, you're a fireman yourself.
You made a...
In a way.
I was a fireman.
You stood by
in
the...
Alford, Massachusetts.
A couple of miles away from the fire.
Yeah, they wouldn't
a,
let me near it.
Flag.
Okay.
Yeah.
America wants and needs another FDR and JFK is willing to look outside the box for it. I believe that's why unconventional candidates have traction this year. I like Sanders. I agree. I like Sanders, too.
I think you were making it... You were doing a Trump impression, and I think they took it to mean a laborer impression.
Well, I think that's a little presumptive on... what's this guy's
Alex.
Name?
Alex.
Alex's part.
Yes.
I think it's very presumptive.
We love your letters.
I resent it. And I don't love that letter. Okay. What if Bernie won the primary, Hillary ran third party, shaking up the two-party dominance?
We always think
of the smaller guy running third party. What if the heavy did? Okay, no. That's an interesting letter. I only have two words to say about that letter, Macy's window. Okay. Tony says, what about Macy's window?
No. Continue.
Continue. We love your letters. Okay. Tony says, panel, what is the mayor's issue for against getting into the race? And that's Tony from Athol, Mass. That's what it says, Tony. Come on now, Ray. He signed it that way.
I hear you. So what? Okay. Yeah. So the mayor's issue for or against getting into the race, Mayor Bloomberg.
His issue is he doesn't want to mess with Hillary, and if Sanders is the candidate, he'll get into the race, he says, or he probably will get into the race. That's the issue.
He wants to win. He wants to come in under favorable terms.
I think you're right. I think he's always wanted to win. He's always looked at this race and other races. And I'm telling you, somebody asked me this morning, I was on with Neuroshell Radio, and they wanted to know, somebody wanted to know whether, he could win and why he wouldn't run for governor, because governor will be open. And
you're talking about Bloomberg?
Bloomberg. And I said Bloomberg doesn't want to be governor. He never has. He could have won long ago.
So experts, yourself included, say that if Bloomberg were to run a third party, that means curtains for Bernie Sanders and the Republican, presumably Trump, would win, right?
Because the House of Representatives, if there's no electoral majority, it goes to the House of Representatives. The House of Representatives are controlled by Republicans, and the Republican would win.
Ah.
Okay?
Because I don't think that, I think Bloomberg would also steal a fair number of votes from, say, Donald Trump.
Oh, absolutely. He would. He would. But you have to understand, one of the reasons we have a two-party system in America is because of this House of Representatives thing. Got it? So in other words, there's no reason having a third party because it'll just mess things up.
All right, sir.
All right. Henry says, in today's discussion, it has been mentioned politics now seems like a reality show. Penn Jillette was on The Apprentice show with Trump. He wrote about this experience in a book. Jillette says that all cast members were told ahead of time they were not allowed to argue with or contradict Trump on the program. Interesting. Okay, and here we go. Ethan says, dear Roundtable, just want to mention that on a cold Tuesday night, last night, Bernie Sanders drew a crowd of 20,000 people in Minnesota. Hillary Clinton drew a crowd of 450 in Iowa. All right. Anybody have any comments?
I will say that the reporters covering this have said that the crowds for both Trump and Bernie, but especially for Bernie Sanders, have been enormous. That even compared to the numbers that President Obama saw 8 years ago in Iowa and New Hampshire, where they were getting about 8,000 or 9,000 people. That was considered to be sort of maximum, and to have these huge arenas being filled up is surprising even the press, who's on the day-to-day following of the candidate.
And for those of us who watched when it was Hillary versus Obama, same phenomenon was happening, and I got to tell you that I'm not surprised, because in the Republican Party, the people who turn out for primaries are the right wing. We know that. That's why these guys are falling all over themselves to be more right wing than the other guy. In the Democratic Party, the activists are on the left side, and they are passionate. I know people who stay up all night raising money for candidates. They are passionate about finally somebody, Sanders, who is talking the truth to them. And so 20,000 people doesn't seem like an impossible thing to me.
Let's take a break. We'll be back and continue with other topics and talk about other issues in the news. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back after the short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Evoke Style in Stuyvesant Plaza, temporarily transformed into Evoke's Secret Garden, a store-wide fashion pop-up shop for Valentine's Day, January 30th through February 16th, evokestyle.com. Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses, contact lenses, and eye exams since 1953, now accepting appointments for patients with flexible health spending accounts, SHEEHYOpticians.com. And the Opalka Gallery at the Sage Colleges, now hosting From Concept to Console, Art and Aesthetics in Video Game Design, and Related Films and Events, sage.edu/opalka.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to the panel discussion this morning. I do want to, Colleen O'Connell just came in and handed me a note. We only have 14 tickets left for the Preet-Bharara event, so we're actually going to rehearse for the fun drive and just say that, you know, if you want these, you got to get them now. So
they're free, by the way.
WAMC.org. They are free. WAMC.org. And you can get the tickets, but we only have 14 left. So if you want to go, you want to probably do that now.
Now, the good news is, for those people who feel they're being shut out, A, you'll be able to listen to it because it's going to be live in your car or at any other venue.
Right, you are.
Two, we're going to be video streaming this, so you'll be able to see the man himself.
Yes.
Is that in color?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure. Not 3D, but
video streaming. It's the newest thing.
We're doing it now.
So only 14 tickets left. WAMC.org, WAMC.org, and do that if you want to get in into the
big
event.
I have a feeling by now that the 14.
It is February 8th. It's at 4 o'clock. Preet-Bharara.
It's a Tuesday or Monday.
It's a Monday night. Yeah, you can go see. It's the same night as a Bruce Springsteen. It's the two big tickets in town.
I hope the fun drive is done.
That'll be the week after the fun drive under your scenario?
Hopefully.
Yes.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. It's done. I mean, you never
everything go. Yeah, we got to get the lockbox.
The lockbox has to be met, folks.
All right.
It has to be.
So, all right. Let's move on to other topics. I found this story to be fascinating. That is the call for depression screenings during and after pregnancy. Women should be screened for depression during pregnancy and after giving birth, according to a government-appointed health panel. The first time it has recommended screening for maternal mental illness. The recommendation, expected to galvanize many more health providers to provide screenings, comes in the wake of new evidence that maternal mental illness is more common than previously thought. That many cases of what has been called postpartum depression actually starts during pregnancy, and that left untreated, these mood disorders can be detrimental to the well-being of the child, and I would, of course, mention also to the well-being of the mother.
Mm-hmm. Why did you find it fascinating?
I found it fascinating because I think we so often overlook mental illness and certainly depression issues in this country, especially amongst women, that we have a panel of doctors who now say that it is time to take seriously and that the glow of birth will overcome all ailments, and that finally there is medical evidence and suggestions that should be. So that is why I find it fascinating.
I've always been horrified at the reaction against women who harm their children. Do you remember the woman in Houston who drowned her children?
Yes.
And the idea that she was a monster rather than a woman in pain and suffering. And postpartum and during pregnancy depression is widely known among women. I mean,
And
it's usually been taken care of within the family. I mean, my mother hustled me home after I had my kids because I certainly had a case of it and didn't kill my children. They're still alive. Thank you for any of you wondering. But yeah, you it's a horrible thing. Certainly not ever recognized or discussed with your doctor. So I'm
well. That's not true.
No,
doctors
I don't
talk about it all. Ray,
look at this. I mean, I think it's interesting that doctors, a panel has to call for screening. If you're getting care from a doctor and he's looking at your body and checking the heartbeat, he's not assessing your mental
what
health.
What kind of screening are we talking about?
Well,
here?
I don't know. It's not in the story.
Oh, no,
that's
they'll ask questions like, have you considered suicide? Have you thought about suicide? Those are the traditional questions in which you
are feeling
so this is not how do you describe your mood?
There's not a physical chemical test? In other words,
I don't think so. Well, I don't know because it isn't in the story and I've not heard it discussed. You know who really talked a lot about this was the several actresses.
Brooke Shields.
Brooke Shields comes really to mind. She was very open in the way that, you know, some women came forward with breast cancer and made it, okay, a woman's health issue we didn't have to be ashamed of and we could talk about. And Brooke Shields had terrible problems.
So my question is, assuming that mothers are the same, more or less, physiologically as they have been for thousands of years.
Right.
Is this a phenomenon that is related, in fact, to societal pressures? Or is this, in fact, something that has always been with mothers?
That's a great question. We probably don't know the answer.
Oh, I know the answer.
Oh, well, let's defer to Dr. Shartok.
It's always been a present. There's got to be.
But it's in a society where women were closer and they worked as a clan. You had a midwife. Watch the. Have you ever seen the Netflix show?
Yes.
Call the Midwife.
Yeah.
I mean, they know when their women are depressed because they were part of the community, part of the. We don't do that now. You go to an obstetrician who spends maybe 10 minutes with you if you're lucky.
Well, there are midwives around, especially in Great Britain.
And many women are going back to them. My sister is a midwife, and they're going back to them for that very reason. There's a support there that you don't have.
And isn't there another word, a doula?
Doula.
Doulas, yeah. They actually, they are very effective.
My daughter had a doula.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and it's also, I mean, to raise a very good point, I think, that this obviously has been something but that has been around, but I think... You know, we were looking at, I did a story, and I get my days mixed up, so it may have been last week, but I was thinking it was this week. I guess it was last week, on autism. And, you know, when you look at autism, we haven't even really come to a diagnosis of autism until the mid-90s, and we're still arguing over it. Mm-hmm. And so...
Well, we come out with a spectrum idea.
You look at just where we went from 1965 to 1990 when it comes to autism. And this comes in with the identification. This comes in with the diagnosis. This comes with names for it. And so... Obviously, you can make a case that someone was autistic or was on the spectrum centuries ago.
Sure.
But it is how we then identify it and look at it. Sure. So I think that's sort of what we're dealing with in some cases now.
Do you think the fact that there are more women who work as A, doctors, and B, gynecologists and obstetricians is part of the reason that we're getting new attention to this problem?
I hope so.
I do, too.
You know, I hope so. Let's go to other stories, and we go to let's go to another medical story. This was from about the New York Giants, and this is a sad story.
This is a
player, a Giants player, Tyler Sash. He passed away last year at the age of 27 at his home in Iowa of an accidental overdose of pain medication. His body was given to science for medical research after his death. Just a little bit of background. He was cut by the Giants in 2013 after what was his fifth concussion. He returned to Iowa and increasingly displayed surprising and irregular behavior, according to family members. He was arrested in his hometown for public intoxication after leading police on a four-block chase in a motorized scooter. He had bouts of confusion, memory loss, and fits of temper. Although a sports celebrity, both as a Super Bowl-winning member of the Giants and a popular star athlete at the University of Iowa, he was unable to seek meaningful employment. So much of this was blamed by his family on the fact that he had that his brain was compromised as a result of the concussions. Okay, so... He passes away. They donate his brain to be tested, and it comes back positive for chronic traumatic encephalopathy, a degenerative brain disease caused by repeated trauma that has been found in dozens of former NFL players, including Junior Seau, we should mention, who was a victim of suicide.
Yep.
This is, of course, comes at a time when the NFL is under a harsh spotlight, and I say harsh, it certainly should be a harsh spotlight that they're under regarding concussions, regarding brain injuries, and this is yet more information that.
Yeah.
By the way, the CTE on a severity scale is 0 to 4, and Sashwood was at a stage 2.
Yes. I have a question. Is this sort of injury, the concussions that are caused by playing?
Multiple.
Is this preventable by some new piece of equipment?
Oh, well, no. Touch or football.
Touch
football, yeah.
No. I never wanted my sons to play football because I was afraid of it.
You were right.
Any mother now, can you justify it?
Now you've put your finger on it. Is why the NFL, or could be how the NFL, a multi-billion dollar enterprise will end, because at some point, and there's a former receiver, Randall L., the yes. other day, who said 20 years the NFL will be gone. I'm not sure about that. But how many parents yeah. are now saying over the last several years, hey, Junior, forget it. You're not putting a helmet on, and you're not going out to play on the high school team.
There are two things.
That'll be the end. Eventually.
I can see this mother, Sasha's mother, is the one who totally believed her son had been injured. She's the one who donated yes. his brain. I mean, that's tragic. That's just awful.
Yeah. The CBS Sunday Morning did a great story on this this past week with Archie Manning, of course, who
right.
is the father of Eli Manning of the Giants, and right. also Peyton Manning, who right. is going right. to the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. And he said he would not let his children play exactly. a tackle football until they were of middle school age, which
yep.
is generally what doctors say.
Yeah, still. Little disingenuous, don't you think? I mean, he can have a brain concussion after he gets to middle school.
And yeah, that's why kid didn't he get these five concussions while he was a professional?
There is we're almost out of time, but there's a lot of science on this that says that indicates that because these kids who get to the NFL are playing at such a young age. There is the most horrible show on television. If you want to see televised child abuse, in my opinion, watch Friday Night Tykes. Have you seen the show?
No.
No.
Horrible show about kids in like 8, 9, 10-year-old kids who are playing tackle football.
I have to interrupt and just say R.I.P. Abe Vigoda, who is now swimming with the fishes. And I
sleeping with the fishes, you mean? Yeah, that was a Godfather reference.
Yes, that was a Godfather
reference. Yes. Yeah. Okay,
I love Abe Vigoda. And, you know, I mean, I just want to end this show by saying, you know, we're all thinking about Abe, and he was supposed to be dead 30 years ago. Remember People magazine? And he wasn't.
But Larry Storch is still alive.
Hal Linden's still alive, actually.
Yeah.
Just wanted to say
Larry Storch.
No one under the age of, 40 knows what we're talking about.
And I'm over it, and I don't know who Larry Storch is.
Have you seen our Target demo, by any chance?
Give it to the lockbox, wamc.org. Last call on the Preet Bharara tickets, wamc.org. We'll be back after this.